don't have music from radio.
Live from Studio G in the heart of America, I'm Steve Gruber, fighting for you from the foxhole of freedom. Here to tell you straight, I'm going to be brutally honest about everything. God bless America. This is the Steve Gruber Show. Here are three big things you need to know right now to start this hour. Number one, another Republican goes to war against America by walking away from the House with months until the election. This time, Ken Buck, who, like Kevin McCarthy, puts himself above stopping the radical left-wing agenda, steps away. Number two, the state of Kansas says no to changing biological sex on driver's licenses, and Portugal swings hard to the right, the latest to join the rejection of progressive globalist agendas worldwide. And number three, another day and more evidence that Joe Biden is not equipped to lead this country to the ice cream parlor, let alone on the world stage. Joe Biden has failed this nation both domestically and globally. I know we talk about this a lot, but honestly, this nation is rudderless right now. And when I reflect on the real presidents that led America, the men who put everything on the line and declared that protecting America was the single most important thing we could do, well, there's a lot of problems that I find. We need real leaders in America again. It's never been more important than it is today. It's time to reflect for a moment on how far we've fallen from the leaders that once believed in America above everything else, above all else. Presidents who believed in America first, and by that virtue, yes, virtue, we lifted the world up over and over again. This republic stands unparalleled in the annals of history for spreading liberty and freedom and human rights. And yes, we've made mistakes, but we had leaders willing to take charge and go forward, no matter how daunting the challenges before us. These men were leaders, strong leaders, most of them in recent decades. Even the ones I didn't agree with were still ones that on most days I had respect for. But that veneer began to ebb away when personal goals were put above everything else. The integrity of the office of the President of the United States began to be less important than personal achievement and political victories and, frankly, pettiness. There was a time when, no matter what political party you belonged to, we could all agree on one thing: America first. And the world knew it. America first, and the world knew it. John F. Kennedy put it this way. Listen.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
There's a pride in America, an America that was on the front end of a decade of change, where we'd rise to our higher ideals of freedom and equality and, yes, liberty. There was a time when Americans came together in common cause because we understood that freedom of thought, expression, religion, of self-determination, and self-defense were the foundational principles and the cornerstones of this republic. Those things were taught in public schools before the unions and progressive teachers and professors infiltrated our institutions of learning and perverted the truth about who we are and where we came from. We're a nation of hardworking people of every color and every race. Look, here's the bottom line that they don't want to admit. America is the most diverse and equitable large nation on earth. I mean, look around. How much diversity is there in China or India? In fact, there is no nation on earth that has more people and religions practicing openly, praying openly to their God in America. No more diversity in any nation than the one we call home. None. Nothing comes close. Anyone who dares to say otherwise is either ignorant or dishonest or both. Are we perfect? No, we're not. But we have the foundation to keep striving for perfection if this cancer eating us from inside can be stopped. There is no country on earth that provides more economic opportunities to 350 million people than the United States of America. That is not just here at home, but that is a global phenomenon. You see, our success has rippled the world over, giving rise to other nations and people to rise above poverty, to grasp freedom, and more importantly, to have hope. Is there more to do? Yes. Of course there is. But to make America the villain is obscene and beyond the pale. There was a day when American presidents were the envy of the world. They were bold. They were formidable. They didn't ask permission to answer a question from a reporter. No, they took charge, you see. Ronald Reagan was a man who believed in freedom to his core. Here's an example.
Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
And when America was under threat or being attacked, whether we liked the person in the White House, whether we liked the person sitting in the Oval Office or not, it didn't matter. There were times we all came to rally behind our country when we all put America first. There was a time. George W., do you remember this? Let me share this little walk down memory lane. Here it is.
I can hear you. I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Now, there was a day that we had confidence. If the phone rang at 3 a.m, the person that would answer the call was ready to protect us, the American citizens, to protect this country. Today, probably like you, I don't have that confidence. I don't believe Joe Biden's capable of doing the job at any level. And it gives me no satisfaction to say that at all. We've all seen Joe Biden lose a step. I mean, he isn't even the guy who ran for president. His decline is obvious, rapid, and a danger to all of us. On Capitol Hill Tuesday, instead of admitting the truth about how far Joe Biden has faded, however, Democrats, in a desperate bid to cling to power, keep trying to attack the man who investigated the president for his illegal possession of classified documents dating back decades. Special Counsel Robert Hur released a report a few weeks ago in which he made it clear Joe Biden is a sympathetic elderly man with a bad memory. And for that reason, he didn't pursue any charges, even though he had broken the law, because he thought it would be difficult to convince a jury that he was still competent to stand trial. And we're going to dig into this when we come back, because this is telling. The Democrats don't care about leadership or competency in the White House. They just care about having their party in charge so they can manipulate the system to control you. They're willing to put a man in the White House that is a, what's the word they like, existential threat? That is an existential threat to this country. They'd rather have that than give up their grip on power. I'll discuss it further after the break.
I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arne with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
Today, One in five working-age Americans has a mental health condition.
People in all types of jobs and at all levels.
And the key to helping us succeed is a supportive and inclusive workplace.
All of us have a role to play in making that happen.
So what can I do to help?
As a CEO, I can set the tone for supportive culture.
As a manager, I can offer assistance and accommodations.
As a coworker, I can listen and be a source of support to my colleagues.
As someone with a mental health condition, I can ask for what I need to perform my best.
I can offer all employees the supports they need to deliver on the job, for the team,
and for the business.
What can I do?
What can I do?
What can I do?
I can remind others
that we all benefit from workplaces that promote good mental health.
Mental health-friendly workplaces are more important than ever.
And all of us have a role to play in promoting them.
Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.